Get your family vehicles ready for summer driving with early Memorial Day deals at Dobbs. Click on GoToDobbs.com for money saver tire and service deals today. Dobbs, with 43 locations, real deals are always close by.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Greg Amsinger is a native of St. Louis. He is a product of the Lindenwood University. He is the lead anchor for MLB Network, and he was a fan of the 1980s Cardinals and Whitey Ball, and joins us now here on 101 ESPN. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you for beginning there. I got to tell you, one of the highlights of my life, maybe one of the highlights of my career, was in Cooperstown, New York. I host the induction ceremony. And Whitey Herzog's being inducted in a moment where Jane Forbes Clark, who runs things, owns things up there in Cooperstown, is on stage. And she says in front of all the Living Hall of Famers, turns to the big monitor and have a look back at the career and legacy of Whitey Herzog. And they blare through the speakers throughout Cooperstown this piece that's run. And we're walking everyone through his baseball career. And I'm watching Whitey from our set or stage in Cooperstown. And he's got tears in his eyes. And the voice that's narrating this track is mine. As a kid growing up in St. Louis, I am the voice of this piece. And he was a huge reason why I fell in love with the game. The way he saw the game is the way I want the game to be. And I had a chance to go to Albert Pujols' charity gala here in St. Louis in the winter, and sat right next to him and told him that story. And we talked baseball all night. And I can't say enough great things about Whitey Herzog and what he did for baseball in St. Louis and overall in general. And I really think that the game is cyclical, and it's eventually going to get back to the way Whitey envisioned it.
Greg, that was very, very well said. Now, I want to transition over to things currently with the Cardinals, because some people are here in a little bit of a panic because of the lack of runs that we're seeing from the Cardinals offense right now. Sometimes scoring three runs is enough for the Cardinals to win, but then there's other times like yesterday where it was not enough. What is your concern level right now surrounding the Cardinals offense?
You know, it's weird. When Paul Goldschmidt is lost, you have to know Goldschmidt's going to get back. He's coming back. He reminds me of Christian Yelich in a way. They're two superstar players that at times can look lost. They can look like an out, but you know they're great baseball talents. He's hitting under 200. That's so not normal and weird. I would actually like to see the Cardinals shake up the lineup a little bit, because right now the guys I'm the most excited to watch, I would love watching Nude Parr's at bats. He grinds every at bat out. I love watching Ivan Herrera. I mean, I can't get enough of this kid. I mean, he looks like 1991 RBI baseball batting stance of someone in that video game. He is so fun to watch. I can't get enough. I'd love to watch him get more at bat. Mason Wynn, can we move Mason Wynn up? Is that okay? What more do you need to do? He's in over 316, on base around 400. Like, can we just try it? Can we see what it looks like? And look, people think batting ninth is like, hey, we're protecting a kid. We're protecting the guy. Let me tell you something. You give truth serum to Victor Scott and Jackson Holliday of the Baltimore Orioles right now, and they're going to tell you every day they walk up to the yard and they see their name batting ninth, something that's never happened in their entire lives until they got to the big leagues. That doesn't exactly exude confidence in people that have never had anything but confidence their entire young life. So I would like to see Victor Scott move up to the leadoff spot, drop a bunt down, give me a little Vince Coleman, Brett Butler action, Otis Nixon from the days of the 90s. I would like to see that excitement off the top. Shake the lineup up a little bit, because if you're scoring three or four runs against the Oakland A's, that's not a good sign. They need to start reigniting the way they do things. They need to be more attacked, because they've got the athletes to attack with these new rules in baseball and taking advantage of stealing bases and getting the extra base. Cardinals need to do that to manufacture more runs.
Greg, a couple of things from the Major League Baseball perspective. We just saw in Oakland there was about 900 fans for a day game yesterday, and the uniform situation is not rectified yet. Those two issues, how embarrassed right now is Major League Baseball with those particular issues?
Well, I wouldn't say Major League Baseball is embarrassed with the uniform issue because the players had a hand in that. And that's the thing that, for some reason, continuously goes overlooked. The players handpicked representation, who are players, and they wanted breathable uniforms. So they work with the manufacturer, and it's, look, millions of dollars are invested in these things. It's not an overnight fix to clean up the uniforms. So this was a collaboration that sort of went awry. They're doing everything they can to try to get this rectified as soon as possible. But I mean, we're talking about a lot of money in play here to manufacture all of these uniforms and all the City Connect uniforms and all the other cool things they do. So this is not an easy fix. As for the Oakland situation, look, this has been a slow drip death of baseball in Oakland for a while. And for them to go to Sacramento next year, while that really doesn't sit well with, I think, a lot of major league players, other owners, to me, you can't have more baseball in a place that's furious that long-term they're not going to have baseball. Imagine if the Rams said, oh, we're going to move to L.A. We already know we're going to move to L.A., but we're going to play the next four seasons in St. Louis. How terrible would that be?
It was.
I mean, the obviously you all know, but it would be terrible if the deal is done and they played four seasons in St. Louis. So you can't have a scene like that. You just can't. I look, Sacramento is optimal, but they cannot play more baseball in Oakland if these are the crowds that they're going to garner. It's just not professional level in anything.
Greg Amsinger thinks baseball, breathes baseball, eats baseball. So I know that you've got an idea about this. Tanner Houck of the Red Sox, Collinsville High School, born here in St. Louis, Mizzou guy. Last night for the Red Sox, throws a complete game three-hitter, 94 pitches, and the Red Sox beat the Cleveland Guardians, by a score of 2-0 in an hour and 49 minutes. Greg, any ideas on how we can lengthen games in baseball?
Oh, my goodness. It's amazing, right? Can I tell you, I'll paint a picture for you. I was on the air last night. I had an earlier show. I was on with Mike Lowell in Dan Without. Mike Lowell and I argued at the end of the show. They did this FanDuel three-game parlay. And I go, I'm taking this bet. Stephen Kwan's red hot. One or more hits. This is on the air. Tristan Casas, two or more bases. Tanner Houck, five or more strikeouts. Dan O'Dowd and Mike will laugh at me, and they're going, he's not striking the Guardians out five or more times. That I would not take that bet. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Tanner Houck's got a 2.1 ERA right now. They're like, the Guardians don't strike out. Then, after we get done with the show, Mike Lowell and I go out to dinner together. We're sitting in this awesome Mexican restaurant, and we're watching the playoff game, Miami Heat and the Philadelphia 76ers, and we're watching the Red Sox game against the Guardians. And we're watching Tanner Houck finish off the Guardians before we're done with our burrito. It's over in a hot second. And he struck out a ton of guys. This has just really happened last night.
Yeah, struck out nine.
It was a great night. But here's the crazy part, okay? He didn't throw a four-seam fastball. Red Sox don't throw fastballs anymore. Going into last night's game, they threw like 14% as a staff four-seam fastballs. All he did was throw breaking balls and changeups. He does not throw a fastball. He throws a cutter every once in a while. But this is a new way of pitching. Andrew Bailey is their pitching coach. Steve Blevins is now the new GM over there. And this is Jerry Blevins. This is what they're doing. This is what they believe in. And they do not have the stuff to overpower you with velocity. So their starters are just throwing nothing but breaking balls. Is it sustainable? I don't know. But Tanner Houck is off to an amazing start. And the Red Sox staff is one of the best in baseball right now. So just pay attention to that theme. The Red Sox in the mix, they've got a winning record. Everyone in the AL East has a winning record, but their pitching staff is great because they're not throwing 91 to 94 mile an hour fastballs, which results in second deck home runs in Major League Baseball.
Greg, the Milwaukee Brewers are coming to town this weekend. How good is Milwaukee? They lead the division, but how good are the Brewers?
I don't know, man. That's a great question. Their bullpen seems to be all over the place right now. They ordered this kid Uribe to kind of take the mantle with Devin Williams out with a fractured back. He's bounced back and forth from struggling. They don't have continuity in that pen, which is, to me, the backbone of why the Brewers have been great. We get so much love to the starting rotation, but it's been the bullpen finishing off these wins for the starters all these years that make us believe in the great rotation of the Milwaukee Brewers. I think Peralta's an ace. After that, I don't know. I think they're thin. I think it's a team that's got a lot of young players, exciting times. Is Bryce Turang really a superstar? Is he going to steal 70 bases? I mean, he's running all the time. I just don't know. I think they're a bigger question mark to me, and I know this sounds crazy, than the Pittsburgh Pirates. I'm more confident in the Pittsburgh Pirates being above 500 this year than the Milwaukee Brewers. And there are a lot of people that roll their eyes at that. But to me, when you need one of those inconsistent players in the last 5 years, Christian Yelich, to be an MVP caliber player for your team to be in the wild card mix, I'm sorry. That guy is way too much hit and miss. Like, Tony Bellinger hit a home run yesterday. If he was in there at 200, guys like that I get kind of afraid of. So I don't think the Brewers are a playoff team, I'll put it that way.
I know we're only 19 games in, but as you talk to people around the game from a national perspective, is Mason Winn opening eyes for the potential of Rookie of the Year and then what he's done defensively as well?
I agree. I think yes. I mean, we're buzzing about this kid. The plays he's able to make are plays that other shortstops simply physically cannot do. We are gushing about Anthony Volpe in New York, right? Plays every single day and ended the game yesterday with a diving stop up the middle. Anthony Volpe's arm is nowhere near what Mason Winn has. Anthony Volpe doesn't have the speed, really, and he can steal bases. Mason Winn is a supreme athlete, and physically, he's still a very thin kid. When he matures and continues to add muscle and strength, I'm telling you, there's a superstar on the brink for the St. Louis Cardinals, and it is Mason Winn. I love his approaches. Had a couple walks yesterday. He's not up there. I had a comparison when I first saw him. I'm like, well, this guy could be what Javi Baez was from the Chicago Cubs. A bit of a free swinger, has power potential. Anybody could see that. But defensively, it's a very unique skill set. I think he's got a much more mature approach at the plate than Javi Baez ever did. And this is going back when he hit over 30 home runs, drove in over 100 with the Chicago Cubs. I think Mason Winn is that special. I know all of our guys gush about him at MLB Network. Dan O'Dowd is blown away by what he's able to do. The Cardinals have their Volpe. Let him play every day.
I love
Let
that
him play
idea.
Every day, regardless of what he struggles, regardless of a bad month of June, let him play every day. He's the Cardinals shortstop going forward.
Hey, Greg, one more thing. Does Scottie Scheffler have a year where he approximates a year of Tiger Woods between 1997 and 2007?
I think we're about to see that. I really do. And I tried the Scottie Scheffler spin with my footwork yesterday, and it ended in disaster. Ended in ground balls, ended in shots in the bunker. I don't know how this man is as consistent as he is when he spins like that. It's incredible. But my goodness, is he a ball striker? Look, his putting, well, he's a PGA player, he's a star player. But if his putting improves, he's almost unbeatable. Would you guys agree with that?
I agree. Yep.
I mean, we're talking about the number one player in the world. And if he improves his putting, no one can hang with him. When you're the heavy favorite going into Augusta National with a purse that big and you handle it that easily with your wife pregnant, ready to give birth to your first ever child, this guy, I don't know, man. He's got armor that no one else seems to have. His mind is right. My mind is not. I birdied the first hole yesterday, which every time I do that leads to disaster for 17 more holes.
Me too.
Yeah, so I don't know how Scotty does it, but he is on the Tiger track for sure.
Yep. I tried that spin one time, and then the next time I played, I remembered to bring my golf shoes again.
Oh, I'm hoping it didn't result in picking yourself up out of a bunker. That's what I hope that didn't happen.
I've got a photo of that, Greg. I'll send it to you sometime.
Hey, speaking of, if you ever have my dear friend Dan Plesak on your show, which he would be good radio, ask him about the one time he spun and fell down a mini mountain and then broke his hip.
Oh, no.
And wait. And then walked the last 15 holes, not knowing that he shattered his right hip. Unbelievable story. He'll walk you through it.
Right.
Spinning is not good for you, kids. It's not good. Do not try to be Scotty Scheffler.
Greg, you're the best. Have a great day, my man.
See you guys.
See you later. That's Greg Amsinger, MLB Network, here on 101 ESPN.